This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to our show, the special six-hour edition of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, Part 2. And man, if you were not up early and around for Part 1, you missed some really amazing stuff. And it's a theme. Had no idea what Deborah Flora would be doing this morning. And had no idea that I'd have the guests that we'll be having in this hour until yesterday, maybe mid-morning, and so many things that have come together. But just for a recap, in case you missed the show from 6 to 9 a.m., who else but Deborah Flora could start out with Mr. Rogers and the new movie? And, you know, she's from Hollywood. She knows those folks. She's from Colorado, but she was an actress. And some of the well-intentioned, misguided Hollywood folks out there, talk about that and then tie it together to the leadership style that's needed for America right now. Absolutely unbelievable. And then in hour two, make sure you get the podcasts of the first 3 hours. Hour two, whenever I'm, you know, maybe sick or don't have time to prepare, a little under the weather, the easy solution is to get Brigitte Gabrielle, because all you got to do is say, good morning, Brigitte, welcome to the show, and then you can go get some coffee. I mean, that lady with her history, her story, and her action now in America is just awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping, fascinating to hear. And she spent most of the second hour with Deborah. And then in the third hour, Laura Carno, my old classmate from Leadership Program of the Rockies, class of 2012, talking, was it 2012 or 11? Anyway, talking about the situation with leaving our kids completely at risk in our school systems here in Colorado and the trainings that are available, etc. And so as I was driving in, looking ahead to the show today, for me, the most important action item we have going on is the Second Amendment rally on the west steps of the Capitol today, the We Will Not Comply rally, west steps of the Capitol on this beautiful Saturday morning, 11 to 1, really the last kind of opportunity for Second Amendment freedom lovers to stand up and voice our disapproval of the Democrat-controlled legislature passing the red flag law. We've already heard, we already know lots of additional gun restriction legislation will be on the table in this upcoming session. And so today, 11 to 1, is the opportunity to show up and voice our displeasure. And there's a theme here. Deborah Flora, Brigitte Gabrielle, Laura Carno, and then I look ahead to the rally, which I'd planned to attend until I got moved to 9 to 12 for this Saturday. I'm still going to fly down there at 12 o'clock so I can say I was there, see who's there, and do whatever I can to, you know, add to the energy. But the three top speakers at the We Will Not Comply rally are all powerful women. Leslie Hollywood, from Rally for Our Rights and a host of other tremendous activism over years and years and years in Colorado. The Hell No Beto mom, Lauren Boebert, who will be in studio with me here in about 25 minutes. And my next guest, who we're going to pop up here in just 1 second, Sharona Bishop, another powerful conservative woman. So the whole theme, and it just came together because I did not talk to Deborah. I didn't know what she was going to do this morning, but it's powerful women are part of the liberty movement, the fight for freedom, the fight against tyrannical government right here in Colorado. And what a joy, what a pleasure it is to know that we have so many powerful women fighting for liberty here in the state of Colorado. Before we bring on Sharona, just obviously, it's December 7th. It's the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Can you go ahead and play FDR just a second?
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
And we are going to play a significant portion of that speech at 10:48 today. That is the actual timestamp for when the attack was launched, 7:48 Hawaii time, 10:48 a.m. Denver time. And we will stop whatever we're doing during the show this morning and play FDR's speech and spend a few minutes just saying thanks to all of the heroes and in all of the wars that America has fought, all the heroes who are serving today, continuing that tradition. Obviously, we're going to devote some time to that. Also, we'll talk a bit today to go local. We've got the owner of the business downtown who's been fighting the city and county of Denver, who are wanting to fine him, prosecute him, because homeless people are defecating and leaving needles and trash all over his parking lot right around his business there in Curtis Park. We'll check in on the status of that story. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, I want to spend some time with Congressman and Colorado State GOP Chairman Ken Buck. He is on the Judiciary Committee. I thought he had a great series of questions during the impeachment hoax hearing this week. And we'll get his take on what's coming up and also bring it home to talk a little bit about what's next here, right here in the state of Colorado. I will tell you, last night I was at the Cory Gardner Christmas party. Yes, that's right. They let me in the door. Maybe they didn't recognize me, I don't know, but I was there, and I can't wait to tell you about some of the amazing people that were there and some of the conversations, the parts I can talk about, that I had with the leadership of the Trump victory team here in the state of Colorado. And one of the people that I was just shocked and so happy to run into, and there are some others, you're gonna love some of these stories, but she's our next guest, and I want to welcome on Sharona Bishop. She's America's mom. Met her for the first time last night. Sharona, thanks for waiting. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Yes, absolutely. Randy, thank you so much, and thank you for your efforts in spreading the word about the rally tomorrow. I cannot help but just take a moment and acknowledge what you said about these powerful women that are stepping up. You know, we have watched and we have waited for the last 10 years for our voices to be heard, for champions to protect and defend our kids, for our Second Amendment rights to be preserved, and we have not seen that happen. And so what have we done? We're not going to sit back and take it anymore. We're not going to wait for a hero. We've decided to be our own heroes. And I love that you acknowledge that this morning. When moms get mad, you better watch out, because we are also activated. We don't just talk, we do. And that's why we're hosting this rally today.
You know, I'm married. We have children. And I have seen what happens to Mama Bear when your children are attacked. My son in high school went to school one day with a Keep Calm, Carry On t-shirt. And this is, and of course, they ordered him, you know, put something on over that, turn it inside out. We got into a whole stink with our local school district. And this is after years and years of me literally having to get involved with the school district. At one point, I dragged the school psychologist into a video deposition at my law firm to protect my children from the influence of what's considered by many to be the best school district in the state of Colorado. And of course, when you set that kind of a precedent, and this was really all at the insistence of my wife, protecting our children, because, you know, I'm the pragmatist. Yeah, well, we'll just, you know, we'll train them at home. We'll keep an eye on things. It's not worth the time, money, expense, effort, all of those sorts of things. When you get a mama bear activated, get the heck out of the way. And
you couldn't be more correct. You couldn't be more correct. I want to just point out, and your listeners probably know this already, but in the 2019 legislative session, there were two bills that brought more people descending upon the Capitol than any other bills that passed, even the red flag bill. And that is Bill 1312, which was the mandatory injections from the government on your children, and the Comprehensive Sex Education Bill, House Bill 1032. There was not more activity than those two bills. There were not more parents, more people descending upon the Capitol to fight those bills, because it directly impacts our kids.
The two that you mentioned are especially near and dear to my heart. Of course, 710 KNUS led the charge. Peter Boyles in the mornings, Stephen Tubbs in the afternoon. They literally went to places where there were legalized safe injection sites and brought that story home. They went down and testified. People stood up. The legislature backed down. On the comprehensive sex education, that was another rally on the west steps of the Capitol, and we'll talk about today's rally here in a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That was another rally on the west steps of the Capitol, and I could not believe the power and the passion of especially the moms, Hispanic moms, white moms, black moms, speaking out so powerfully against this whole idea that these masterminded bureaucrats are going to set the new moral standard for our children and do it while they've got complete control of them in our schools.
Absolutely. And Randy, that is the narrative, that you don't know what's best for your child, the state does. And they continue to force and push that narrative. I live on the Western Slope, as you know, and the state is coming to invade the Western Slope now with their rural blueprint. They are specifically addressing our rural areas as it pertains to controlling our children. And so because of that, we're absolutely going to continue to keep fighting and standing up. We're not paid to do this. This is really out of love for our state, love for our children, and love for our Constitution, because the things that are happening, these bills they're passing, they are not only wrong morally, they're unconstitutional, what they're doing. I wanted to share with you, midway through the session, at the beginning, I met with a friend who works at the Capitol and kind of was a little unsure of what was going to happen. And I expressed my concerns about, I think this is going to be a crazy session. And I was told, no, don't worry about it. It takes forever to pass a bill. Don't even worry about it. Halfway through the session, I received a phone call from the same person saying, they don't even care when we advise them that these are unconstitutional bills. They say they'll take it up with the courts. They did not care. We know all this, and I'm regurgitating that. But as we prepare for another legislative session, we have to understand the Second Amendment protects all of these other rights. We're watching in Samoa right now where the government is literally going door to door and violating human rights. And they're getting away with it because those people have no way to protect themselves. We have the great people of Hong Kong who are asking us to be the Americans they believe that we are and stand up for the Second Amendment. They wish they had it because they know they cannot enforce freedom without it. And here we are today. Sometimes I feel like I've absolutely lost my mind, that I'm living in an alternate universe, when I see people actually saying that we don't need the Second Amendment, that we don't need guns, that we don't need any way to protect ourselves. And how archaic are we to ever think that our government would actually do something to harm us?
Yeah, there was a caller earlier in part one of my show with Deborah Flora who made that point, and two callers immediately called in. We've got what's going on in Iran right now. Hundreds, if not 1,000 or more people killed by the government. Thousands more imprisoned right now. And remember how Barack Obama ignored them during that one opportunity when people were rising up and the satellite pictures and the surveillance pictures showed them, you know, Obama, where are you? And we stayed silent and allowed the tyranny to take even deeper hold over in that country. We've got all of the history of the world of what happens when government is empowered and the people are disempowered. Let's reset here, Sharona. You and I are both Colorado natives. Neither of us recognize the state that we live in. What is America's mom? What was the trigger for you? And how can people connect with you with regard to your work as America's mom?
Thank you so much for that question. You know, all of us have a sense that there's something wrong. We just haven't been able to articulate it. We can't explain it. And when we would try to talk about it, we were told, no. You just go to your job, do your thing. The government will take care of it and take care of you. And a few years back, it started with the idea that, you know, I owned a business and 50% of my business was lost after the second election of Obama. Within 3 months, I was in a decline. And I just thought, there's something wrong here. How come we're not able to defend our property? How come we can't defend our rights? And what are those rights? I really wasn't completely sure. I was a stay-at-home mom, but I also ran a business from home. And I thought, I better start figuring this out because nobody's going to rescue me. The Calvary's not coming. John Wayne is dead. Nobody's coming to save me. I'm going to have to figure this out for myself. And there's so much power in an individual who decides they're going to stand up and educate themselves first on their constitutional rights, develop those founding principles, and then go execute those in action. And that is exactly what happened with America's Mom. I would say things and have conversations with people, and they would be like, yeah. How do we figure these bills out? How do we get involved in the conversation? How do we hold our legislators accountable? How do we call our senators? We've done 100-day campaigns where we flooded the governor's office regarding House Bill 1032. People want to be activated and they want to be educated. I was that person, and I didn't have a resource yet that I could really reach up to and figure these things out. So America's Mom was born out of the knowledge that people want to know, they want to learn, but we're not teaching it as we're growing up, and it's hard-pressed to find someone who can relate to you. I'm just a mom, but I've educated myself, I've empowered myself. This is America. You can have, do, and be anything that you want to be, including politically activated. I always would hear people say that they hate politics, and I understand that, but you have to love policy. You have to be in the policy conversation, because policy is what is stripping our rights away. Not understanding policy is what is taking everything from us here in Colorado. We're watching in real time what it looks like to become a socialist state, because we how valuable it is for us to be a part of the policy conversation. And that's why America's Mom was born, was to empower regular, just normal, regular people to start being civically activated again. And they can find us on all of the standard social media platforms, America's Mom. Go on there, find us, message us. We're also really interested not only in holding rallies like we're doing today, but actually really helping great candidates, people who've been wanting to make a difference in their community, get ready. Because we need good, constitutionally minded conservatives, regular people who are living the everyday experience. We don't need lifetime bureaucrats. We don't need lifetime politicians continuing to drive this narrative here in Colorado or in America.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, lefties, middle of the roaders, mushy Republicans. It really is time to step up. You know, until the election of Donald Trump, all we had were Mitt Romney-style leaders at the top of the Republican Party. We had the Bob Doles and the John McCains and people who simply, you know, tried to be liked by the media, tried to be all things to all people, and continued to believe, in spite of so much evidence to the contrary, that if you just tried to cooperate, if you would just talk to people and hear them out and make compromise, that we could make a difference and move forward. But all of those compromises have ratcheted us further and further to the left. And but for the election of Donald Trump, it could be that we would be on the verge of civil war, or on the verge of looking for other places to live if we didn't want to live in a socialist America.
That's exactly right. And when we're talking about this red flag bill, to bring it back to today and today's rally, that red flag bill violates your 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendments.
Well, you still got a few left.
A gross violation. Well, not the ones that people know, and certainly not the ones that matter in our everyday lives. You know, this is a gross violation of what it means to be an American citizen. And to those who use personal virtue to expand red flag laws, you know, you're full of it. It's great that you can go to bed thinking you're a great person while you've robbed millions of other people of their rights. Not only their rights, but protected rights by the Constitution. Not given by men, but endowed by God. And as we go into this incredible rally today, I know this is going to be the largest Second Amendment rally in the history of Colorado. I want people to be mindful of this. We have to stand up and protect what we love. We're not in a time anymore.
Well,
we're going to be able to sit back.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And thank goodness I'm seeing so much activation all around. Michelle Malkin and I put together these Stand with ICE rallies, and we had people from all over the state, including private security. You know, I had an Aurora police officer come up. I was emceeing the event in front of the ICE Center, and, you know, some of these people here are carrying guns. Yeah, we were the safest square block or square, you know, quarter mile in the state at that time, just like we will be on the west steps of the Capitol today. And how did you, it was such a pleasure to, I had no idea that you or the Hell No Beto Mom would be at the Cory Gardner Christmas party last night. I had no idea what to expect. And it was so great to see Bikers for Trump there, people who came down not only for the party last night, but especially for the Second Amendment rally today. And I talked to people in Trump victory, people high up, and there's no question that Trump is coming to Colorado. There's no question that Cory Gardner and Donald Trump will be You know, whether they agree about everything is irrelevant. Corey is a different man. But everybody understands, and these were the remarks that Cory Gardner made last night, everybody understands that the country we love, the ability to worship as we please or not, the ability to defend ourselves and our family and others if need be from crime and from tyranny are all at stake right now and at stake in this next election. So it is so awesome that you're going to be there. Tell people where to go, when to be there, and what they're going to hear if they come down and join us today at the rally.
Absolutely. So the People's House, the Capitol, will be out there on the Capitol steps. You're not going to be able to miss us. Of course, we have the great Leslie Hollywood. You mentioned her already. Leslie Boebert, the Shooter's Grill.
Lauren Boebert. Yeah.
Yes, Lauren Boebert. That we call her the Beto Basher, where we're from. And then, of course, we're going to have our representative Shane Sandridge. He's been one of the most vocal. He's an A+ rating from the NRA for his stance and protection of the Second Amendment. He is a staunch conservative. He'll be representing with us today, which I have to say is quite a step out because there were others who decided not to because they were concerned about their image. And I really want to give him a huge shout out because Shane does not care. He supports the Constitution. He supports Colorado citizens and American citizens, and he's going to show up. So we love him, of course. And there's going to be a few surprises. We also have Jonathan Lockwood, who has started his career here in Colorado, but he, with his incredible ideas and his incredible messaging, was able to shut down one of the most communistic gun control bills ever brought forward in the history of our nation in Oregon last session, and he shut that down. He's going to be there today as well. We have so much diversity. I hate to use that word. It's usually a four-letter filled word for me.
Yeah.
But I want to say, though, the Second Amendment, people are understanding, no matter where you come from, you have to have the Second Amendment in order to defend all of the other rights. And so there is a vast array of people who have chosen to come together today who normally would not. And I really want to express that. These people normally do not hang out together. But we all recognize that the red flag law is bad for Colorado. It destroys our constitutional rights, and it does not help anyone who is having mental health issues. So you're going to see a very wide array of people today that's really going to have you going, wow, I can't believe they all came together for this cause today. So be encouraged. This message is permeating across the nation, but especially in Colorado, because we know firsthand what it feels like now to have tyrannical leadership.
Well, so,
11 to 1. Yes.
Yeah, west steps of the Capitol. People have asked me about Sheriff Steve Reams. He's our sanctuary county leader here in Colorado from Weld County. Actually, his wife's birthday, so they're on a little holiday this weekend, so he will not be there, but he sends his regards. You mentioned Jonathan Lockwood. I know him very well. We used to get together for meetings at the Independence Institute. He took his message and his incredible and unique talents into the belly of the beast. Was it in Portland or Seattle? I forget. But it's just absolutely incredible. Last question from me. We will have Lauren coming in here in just a few minutes, but how did you connect with Lauren? Is it through the rally? Did you guys know each other from before? Because you seem like truly inspirational birds of a feather.
Like attracts like, and I happened to move up into her area just about a little over 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago now. And I had stopped into Shooter's Grill 4 years ago. And the reason we came there was not to eat. It was to get a picture with that girl with her gun. And that was 4 years ago. And I was definitely on my own journey, understanding liberty and principles and Constitution. And I never occurred to me that I would ever have the opportunity to work with such an incredible human being. She is an incredible activist for the Constitution. She's an incredible mother of four amazing boys, dedicated wife, entrepreneur, and somehow she's got the energy of a 12-year-old. It's just absolutely incredible. So it was just a great fit because we both came in going, it's time to upset the narrative. It's time to disrupt this really pervasive, we can't do anything about it. Just sit back and hold on tight while we ride the wave, and eventually the pendulum will swing back to us. We are not of those people. We are active, we are action-oriented, and we're going to continue to fight for the things that we want because we know it isn't going to work to wait for the pendulum. So Lauren and I have just become an absolute force together. We have a a lot of things coming up together, and we're going to be looking forward to being back on here next week with you to let you in on some insider information. And we're going to continue to work for the people of Colorado and specifically in our area, the Western Slope, because our governor is attacking the Western Slope with his rural blueprint. We don't want any of it. We are independent.
Sharota, we got to go.
Freedom fighting.
We got to go. We got to go. And I wish I could spill the beans right now. Such exciting news that's coming. No, don't you worry. I won't. And I won't be there. Obviously, I'm on the air now till 12. That was a change for me for today, but I will be flying down there. I'll at least be there to support you at the tail end. Thank you so much for your time this morning. 11 to 1, West Steps of the Capitol, everybody. Be there. Thank you, Sharona.
God bless you. You
betcha.
Thank you so much.
Sharona Bishop, America's mom. We're going to have Lauren Boebert in here in just 1 second, but I think it's worthwhile to get a tease of why she is so very important to our topic of conversation this morning. This was Lauren with Beto O'Rourke when he was in Aurora, Colorado, just a few weeks ago.
Owning Americans that heard your speech and heard what you had to say regarding hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15s.
Hell yes!
And
let's be respectful. Let's be respectful.
Well, I am here to say hell no, you're not. So, with that, I would like to know how you intend to legislate evil, because it is not the gun, it is the heart of the man that does that. We all have stories.
Yeah, we've got her. She's standing outside ready to bring in, and the recording's not that great, but who is more gutsy than that? We'll find out. Lauren Boebert is next right here on the special part two edition of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We are back. Special 6 hour edition of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Thanks so much to Deborah Flora this morning for filling in the first 3 hours. And if you weren't here at the top of the hour, I couldn't believe the theme that came together. Just thought about it on the way in. Had no idea it was going to work out this way. Had no idea that this would be simply a celebration of the powerful women that are in our movement right now, starting with Deborah Flora. She had Brigitte Gabriel on, my old classmate from LPR, Laura Carno. We just finished speaking with Sharona Bishop, America's mom, and we're about to be joined in studio by someone who is just absolutely incredible. Her name's Lauren Boebert, and she is especially well-known for her viral video, Hell No, Beto. And while we get set up in here, let's just hear that one more time.
Owning Americans that heard your speech and heard what you had to say regarding hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15s.
Yes!
Let's
be respectful. Let's be respectful.
Well, I am here to say hell no, you're not. With that, I would like to know how you intend to legislate evil, because it is not the gun, it is the heart of the man that does that. We all have stories. Excuse me.
Let's allow her to finish, please.
We can all have these stories. We all have the experiences. I was living in Aurora during Columbine. I had just recently moved when the Aurora shootings happened, yet I have very close ties here. Yet all of those people were there defenseless. They had no
they weren't
to defend themselves against a crazed shooter. So I want to know how you intend to legislate the hearts of men and leave American citizens like myself, American mothers. I have 4 children. I'm 5'0", 100 pounds. Cannot really defend myself with a fist.
It's okay. Let's allow her to finish.
I don't have my AR-15 today. I have my Glock. Don't worry, sir. I have your back.
I have my Glock.
Anyway.
No problem.
I want to know how you're going to legislate that, because a criminal by defense breaks the law. So all you're going to do is restrict law-abiding citizens like myself. We all know that you, sir, have a criminal history, and I understand that burglars do not like armed defense.
It's okay.
Yes, sir. Burglars do not like armed defense, yet that is a right that we have that shall not be infringed in America.
Bootlicker!
Okay. I really appreciate the question. And the presumption in this case.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Beto sitting there shushing the crowd, let her continue to take me out of the presidential race. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And Lauren, thanks so much for taking some time. I know it's an incredibly busy day with the rally kicking off 11 to 1 west steps of the Capitol. The Hell No Beto mom, Lauren Boebert, in studio right now. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
You better believe it. It's you know what, the theme that I picked up this morning, it really has been the powerful women that are in the conservative movement, the freedom movement, whatever you want to call it. We're happy warriors.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Moms put on this Second Amendment rally, Colorado's largest Second Amendment rally put on by mothers. We sure do appreciate all the men and fathers that are coming to show up and support us, but we have worked our tails off to get this going today.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's with joy, and it's
yes.
with optimism, and it's with courage, conviction, and confidence.
Absolutely.
That, you know, we do live in a nation that was divinely inspired, and living the history of human beings, we have such a small slice of the arc of history. And so everything that happens day to day, week to week, month to month is such a big deal, such a catastrophe. But if you step back and take a satellite view, you know, the last 10 years, the start of the Tea Party movement, the way people rose up against Barack Obama in the 2 years into his presidency and turned over the House, then turned over the Senate,
yeah.
then elected somebody, the most unlikely of heroes, President Donald J. Trump.
Love him.
You know, we're winning this fight.
Yes. Yes, we will win.
Yeah.
Yes. Confetti, right? Have you ever
yeah.
have you ever looked up the definition
I
to
did.
That?
Yeah.
Yes. In the end, we win.
Yeah. It's so, he plays the media so well.
He does. I don't think he misspeaks as often as people say sure. that he does. But you know, we are putting this rally on with such great confidence because of our foundation. Our foundation is good and it is solid. We may have built some junk on top of it, but it's nothing to get rid of that and dismantle it and get back to our foundation. It's not going to break the Constitution to use the Constitution. I personally am tired of being on the defense. It's time to play offense. I'm tired of defending my rights. I have elected leaders to secure my rights. They have power because we, the people, have given them that power to run our country, and they're to secure our rights, and they are not securing our rights. They're not standing up for our rights. They're not declaring the things that are being taken from us. All of this is done in secret with no news, with no press, and the people are the ones who are suffering.
Today is December 7th.
Yes.
We played at the open of the show just a minute or less of FDR's speech announcing the attack from Japan. And, you know, a lot of these things are coincidental. This was the Saturday where the rally could happen before we get too close to Christmas. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage everybody who's, you know, it's a shopping day. It's a beautiful day in downtown Denver. We should see 50 degrees down there. And so I know we're all busy. We've all got mm-hmm. stuff to do, but nothing is more important than
right.
stopping by 11 to 1 on the west steps of the Capitol. But when you think about, you know, the mm-hmm. the importance of America's entry into World War II and how
yes.
that turned everything around and how we still, in spite of our many flaws, try to use our incredible, never-before-seen massive military force for good in the world, the reason that those soldiers lose life and limb, the reason they take the oath and go off to fight for our freedom is the very reason that we're going to be down on the west steps of the Capitol today.
Yes.
They're fighting for our right to worship or not worship as we choose, to speak and to be able to speak uncomfortable truths or even uncomfortable lies
right.
Under the First Amendment, and the ability to defend ourselves and our families. I just have to... You know, you're diminutive. You're 5 foot, 100 pounds. You
I
made
have
that
to be.
Point to yeah. You made that point to Beto O'Rourke,
mm-hmm.
and there is no way to equalize your stature against an armed attack or against an armed or unarmed attacker.
Correct.
A man can overpower you. Doesn't matter how good you are, how in shape you are, martial arts, whatever. There's only one way to equalize that.
That is correct.
And
that's why I started carrying.
Yeah, and I just loved your comment that to the crowd who was trying to shout you down, I don't have my AK, don't worry, I got my Glock, I got your back, buddy.
Yes.
What were you thinking? Well, you know, let's take it back even a little bit further.
Sure.
You got four boys.
Yes.
Married how long?
My husband and I have been together 17 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a solid marriage. You run on the restaurant Shooter's Grill in Rifle, Colorado. You'd think a safe place, you know, farmers, people have weapons. They don't freak out if there are weapons around.
Correct.
So what happened to you that was the trigger that took you from being successful, happily married, mother of four boys to thinking, my God, I've got to be able to protect myself?
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually starts even further back than that. I should not be a woman with a gun today because of my background and the way I was raised. I was raised in a Democrat welfare home, and my mom believed the lies that you have to have the government to protect you, to feed your children, to house you, and to take care of your medical needs. She believed that lie. And so we were raised with this poverty mentality, and we were absolutely in poverty, but, you know, then those mindsets are developed with it. And then when we moved from the Denver area to the Western Slope, and I got my first job at the Rifle McDonald's, and I received that first paycheck, there was such pride in that. I didn't like the taxes that were deducted from that paycheck. I thought I was going to be making more than I was.
What a shock that is.
I know.
Happened to my son as well. He's like, wait a minute.
Wait, what is this?
That's like my $250 check, and I get $183.
Somebody stole my money.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, with that, I began to debunk these Democrat values that I was raised with, these deceiving lies that I was told. And so my husband, he came from a very similar background in Las Vegas, you know, bullets through the window at night, drive-bys and all this. And we came together and we had to develop conservative values. It was not always easy. We didn't know what a conservative value was, but we knew that there was something that was more righteous to pursue. And so through our many failures and mistakes, we have created this wonderful life. And now we get to hand that over to our four boys, and they don't have to make the tough decisions that we did when we were growing up, that we are instilling those values in them already. So when times got tough financially during the Obama administration, we made the decision to open Shooter's Grill. And it was absolutely a risk, but our main goal wasn't how do we have money. We had seen all of our friends lose their jobs in our community, and everybody just wanted to get back to work. Nobody wanted a government handout. And we said, we can open a restaurant and we can employ people and we can develop skills in people and they can grow and do other things. And that's what we did. We didn't open to carry guns. It was actually a little while after we opened that a man was physically beat to death in our alley, just like you said. And I needed an equalizer. Yeah. Immediately, I thought to myself, how will I protect my people? There were no weapons involved in that man's death. How will I protect my people? So I researched Colorado gun laws. I began to open carry. I didn't have time to go and take a class and pay my government a fee to prove my innocence and obtain a permit.
You decided to look at the Constitution.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
The Colorado Amendment, right? Constitution.
Yeah, yeah. No, yes. And really, it's fantastic. We have a fantastic Constitution if we would just leave it alone and quit with all this other legislation. But I began to open carry, and then I started to see the attacks on the Second Amendment. And me knowing nothing of the Second Amendment and gun rights, I'm like, this doesn't seem right. Why are these rights being diminished so frequently? And
And how long ago was that?
That was in 2013. And so that's when my advocacy for the Second Amendment developed.
So, yeah, it's interesting because I'm probably close to 11 years now. Tea Party got me up off the couch. I heard George Bush say I have to violate free market principles in order to save the free market.
Goodness.
As a math major in college, I flipped eventually. But a lawyer now, you know, that the analysis of that, it just drove me crazy. But so many of us have had a trigger point and have now come to this point. It's going to bring us all together today, 11 to 1 on the west steps of the Capitol. We'll talk about that. We do need to take a break here. So what I'd like to do is have you thinking about just go relive as you were driving across the mountains from Rifle, knowing that Beto O'Rourke was going to be you grew up in Aurora, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. So they're going to be in your home area. Really trying to take advantage of the suffering that went there in the movie theater shooting and all of that, just all of the platitudes and BS. He was the worst of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to know what you were thinking, and then when you walked into that heavy-duty crowd and all of those things. So
straight
people
into
can,
the lion's
yeah,
den.
Yeah, it's just brilliant, and it's inspirational. And I'm sorry, it's fun. Yes, there is danger in life, But all good things come with risk.
Yes.
If we can be happy, Reagan was the ultimate happy warrior. I would say, even though he's a punch you in the face and kick you in the teeth kind of fighter, that Donald Trump is a happy warrior.
Yes.
The people I know who work with him, a relative who has traveled with him, a liberal who says he's nothing like he's portrayed in the media. They say he loves what he's doing and the success. And he loves the winning, 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 you know, how he always ends his rallies. And we need to remember that. We don't help ourselves or the people we're trying to persuade to come back to believing in freedom and believing in themselves if we're angry all the time.
Correct.
And many times activists feel or come across as though they're angry. So today's Happy Saturday on this anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. I'm sure happy to have Loren Boebert in studio with me. And when we come back, I also want to talk a little bit about the very unusual place that I was last night. It was a Christmas party for U.S. Senator Cory Gardner. He and I have gone around a few times over the years. So all of that's ahead. I hope you'll stay with us. We're about 18 minutes to go until 10 o'clock. I'm Randy Corporan on this special Part 2 edition of Wake Up with Randy Corporan at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan.
Happy Warriors all morning long here on the special six-hour edition of Wake Up with Randy Corporan. Started with Deborah Flora this morning, Brigitte Gabrielle, Laura Carno. We had Sharona Bishop on. Powerful, powerful women fighting for all of our liberty. It is so much fun. We had a caller call in wondering about open carry. Probably heard Lauren talking about her establishing her open carry rights. And there are prohibitions in Denver on open carry, so be very, very careful. I am not going to give legal advice over the air. It varies so much from place to place to place. So if somebody needs to know details, you know, you can send me an email, go through the law firm, contact your lawyer, whatever. Don't take any chances. Don't be stupid about it. But there's no way I can answer that broad of a question on the radio. There's just too much variance from place to place. Dr. Marty writes in from Kentucky this morning, the Constitution is our license. And Alexa this morning, so blessed to have women like Lauren and Leslie on our side. And it's just so true. You know, we were at the Cory Gardner party last night, and I was surprised to get invited, but I've been working so hard. I went 1,500 days without being able to get Cory to come on and do an interview with me.
Wow.
And we had on a couple times since, you know, and Donald Trump has stepped in to support him. And Cory's been voting, you know, for Donald Trump, all of his judges, and 90%+ of the time on other things as well. And so for me, everything is about the 2020 presidential election, and that includes keeping the Senate seat we have here in Colorado.
Yes.
90% of incumbents get reelected. That's across the board. And the front runner in the Democrats is very damaged right now. It's not a topic for this moment. But I was so grateful at the party. Didn't know what to expect. I knew it'd be a good time. I just know everybody there because I've been involved now so long. But there were bikers for Trump.
Absolutely.
They were leathered up. I don't know if they were riding or not. The people from Trump Victory, regional directors, I had a great conversation with him and so many others. And it was a joyous occasion.
Yes. And Women for Trump were there.
Women for Trump. That's right. And Cory just hit all the right notes on why we're fighting for our precious Colorado, why we're fighting for our precious country.
Speech.
And so I just want everybody, all the Cory haters, and, you know, I've been with you at times on policy. I've always liked him. He's too likable of a guy to hate. But just keep your powder dry. Let's see how this thing plays out, because I think Trump's going to be here first quarter next year. I really do.
Glory.
And several times beyond.
Yes.
All right.
We need him on the western slope first. I call dibs.
No. Can't have him. But I would travel. I'll tell you. I'll be there. If you get extra tickets.
Got it.
Remember your old friends in Denver. But on your way down. So understand, you had this traumatic event at your restaurant, and you encourage carry in Shooter's Grill, I
assume.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
I would never advocate to take rights away from another citizen.
Yeah, and it's the safest place in the world.
You know, I like to think so.
An armed society is a very polite
very.
Society. And, you know, you can't stop crazy. But you can stop it a whole hell of a lot quicker if you're prepared to defend yourself, well-trained, prepared for sudden, you know, response and all of that. You can't be carrying a gun and just, well, I'll figure out how to use it if somebody ever attacks me. You got to be smart about this sort of thing.
Yes.
So very important. So you decide, you hear Beto's going to be in Aurora.
Yes.
And playing the drum. Michael Bloomberg was here yesterday, I think. It was disgusting. We may talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. What in the world inspired you, spoke to your heart, had you drive all the way in from Rifle to go confront him the way you did?
Well, that was the most emphatic I'd ever heard a candidate speak on gun confiscation.
He finally told the truth. Yes. What Democrat, and everybody was like, oh, don't say that.
Yes.
You know?
No, they like to skirt around the issue and inch by inch, you know, little by little. Don't let them know what we're doing. And he came right out and said it. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15s and your AK-47. Yeah. And I looked around and I said, hell no, you're not. Yeah. What is this? And then I heard he was coming to Aurora, and I knew he was coming to pander for his propaganda there, to stand on the graves of our victims who were absolutely defenseless. I said, I know his game. I know why he chose Aurora. We have the theater. We have Columbine. We have the STEM school shooting and all of these things. And by the way, I love those kids who walked out when people try to turn it political.
Brilliant.
They said, we're through
with
your games.
At the STEM school,
yes,
the rally afterwards.
Yes, that was
brilliant.
Fantastic. So I knew what he was doing. And I went down there with the intention to tell him, hell no, you're not going to take our guns, our freedoms away from us.
Was he on the in front of the Aurora Municipal Building?
Yes.
Was that what the backdrop was?
And, you know, I just attribute everything to the favor of God, because I was exactly where I needed to be. I had no idea where to stand, where he was going to be. He was over an hour late. And you know, there weren't too many people there, maybe 100 or so, but I just was in the absolute right spot at the right time, and I saw that microphone, and I said, "That's mine. I'm talking to this guy."
And you were open carrying.
I was. And yes,
did
in Aurora.
Did anybody really? Yeah. Did anybody notice? I mean,
yes.
were you getting before the interaction, the exchange with Beto McDork? Were you? Did you get talked to by any of the crazy crowd?
Only snickers around me. And I would smile, hi, how are you? You know, just super polite with everyone. And they would kind of roll their eyes and whisper to their friends. There were news
But they
reports.
Sure didn't lay hands on you, did
no.
they?
One woman ended up hitting me, yes.
Really?
Yes, that happened. I was talking live on my Facebook, and she started chiming in. So I turned towards her, and she slapped my arm. I said, excuse me, don't touch me. And she's like, get out of here. I'm like, well, then don't jump in, you know? But you're going to assault me, and I'm the bad guy?
Well, you know, when Michelle and I did, we did two rallies standing for ICE and for law enforcement. And the second one was on 921. By the way, I got 921 buttons for you 921ers. These are mine, not the station. So just email me at wakeupwithrandycorporan. You go to 710knus.com, text the show using the app, or just get a hold of me. We've been mailing out buttons to everybody. We're starting to run low. But you have to have been a 921er to get them. But some woman tried to hit Michelle Malkin with her sign. Mm-hmm. And there was a 6 foot, three or four, I mean, a massive Aurora cop. The sign came within, I don't know, micro inch of his face. He didn't even blink. I saw the surveillance video after. But they're just so angry, so aggressive, and so violent.
So
and
tolerant.
So, and, you know, we can't back down. And the reason they are is because they know a lot of people are just going to say, well, you know, it's just dangerous. Other people will be there, and we'll let them take care of things. We can't bring that mentality in if we want to save our country.
Right. And isn't that funny? As soon as they tell you you can't have a gun to protect yourself, they say, call the police. It's their job. So I can't have
5 minutes later.
Right. Yes. And I can't have self-responsibility to defend myself and my children, whoever's around me.
They come to investigate the crime. Right. They're not there in time to stop the crime.
And how selfish of them to put someone else's life in danger.
Yeah, that's a great point. When is your car coming? Because we're really close to the top of the hour. We need to take another break. Can you stick around a few on the other side?
Yes. So between 10:15 and 10:25, we're fantastic.
And
so I do want to mention just quickly, with all of those tragedies that happened with those shootings, those victims were absolutely defenseless. We do not differ in our hearts. Nobody wants people to die. Nobody wants school shootings. Where we differ is data.
I was I was live on the air the night of the STEM shooting. The regular host, Stephen Tubbs, lived down that way. So he headed over there to cover it. So I came in to cover the studio side. And, of course, you know, when you're reporting breaking news like that, you kind of try and separate out the political and the philosophical. Right. But I couldn't help but saying, and I especially said this Saturday after the shooting on my show, that what Kendrick Castillo did, sacrificing his life to save so many others, you know, that is a powerful message that our kids won't get from their teachers, won't get from the mainstream media. Not to, you know, give up your life or whatever, but that heroism matters. Being prepared to act for the good of all. It was just such an incredible thing. And I lost a brother in a car crash. Mm-hmm. I understand the pain, and I feel so much sorrow for the parents. But I can't imagine the pride they must know to know that they raised such a heroic child. And so very important.
Absolutely.
All right, we do have to take that break, but Lauren's going to stick around at least for a few more minutes. She's got to get downtown because the big rally, 11 to 1, west steps of the Capitol. I'll get down there as fast as I can. I hope you'll all show up and stick around. Let's make this the biggest Second Amendment rally in the history of the state. So very important today on this anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Really glad to have you along. Thanks for listening. It's Wake Up with Randy Corporan at 710 KNUS.